Welcome to Rated LGBT Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
And here we are, with a few LGBTs added in.
Yeah, we got a few tonight, don't we?
We do. We do.
Yeah.
So we've been having mic problems. We have to own up to that a little bit.
Well, we are going to own up to it. And I'll tell you, for everybody who's listening in, Blog Talk Radio, bless their hearts, they have these great new high-tech fangled things. And this is something Rob and I worked on late last year when we had this great brainchild to do Rated LGBT Radio, which is what we're doing tonight. So I said, Rob, we're going to make you go high-tech, you know, because sometimes when you call in from your cell phone or the landline, the sound quality is not as fantastic as one would love to have. And Blog Talk has made great strides with technology, like this direct connect option. So they keep promoting it, and they keep promoting it, and keep trying to get the host, like myself and Rob, to use it. And when it works so incredibly awesome. It's just like you're listening to this million-dollar production of a radio show. And when it doesn't, it sounds just beyond horrible. So after last week's show,
we're calling in from a third world country. Horrible.
Orange juice can on a string, if we're lucky. And so after last week's show, we had a lot of people say, part of the call that we did last week, it was a little bit hard to understand. And I think it was when Rob was doing my tarot card reading. And so just to preface it, Rob's going to do a tarot card reading for a lucky listener tonight. If you want to have him do your tarot card reading, we're going to be doing that in the second half of the show. Feel free to give us a call at 323-657-1493. We'll screen some calls at the break at the half hour, and Rob will take it from there. But I said, Rob, I think we need to just kind of bite the bullet and do the direct connect. And so Rob is, just a trooper in all senses of the word. He says, okay. So he calls in early. We test it out, and it sounds absolutely horrible. So I don't know. There's something going on. We may have to, try to troubleshoot with the Blog Talk help desk. But that's neither here nor there, and that's not interesting to tonight's show. But I'm thrilled that you're back for our second official week together.
I know. I am, too. I actually started out the day with you. You didn't know it, but I did. That sounds really stalkerish. Oh, my gosh.
I love stalkers.
I should have thought that one out first. Yeah. Yeah, the telescope you saw coming at you from the other building, that was me. No.
Oh, yeah.
No. Okay, so in full disclosure, I actually had a lot of really hectic things going on today, and some of them involved having a commute. And on my commute, I was playing some of my favorite music, particularly one song in particular called The Fog. Now you know where I'm going with this, right?
Oh, yep. There we go.
Yeah. So it's a song from Garrett's album that I love. And every time I listen to it, especially after he explained kind of the secret sauce behind it, I love it even more. And today it was just kind of, you know how you need that nudge every once in a while to put you in a good zone, and it did it for me today. It just
right on
kicked me right on over into the good zone, and so thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. So, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, The Fog, my first album was called Eyes Wide, and I did that a couple of years ago, and there's, four songs on the EP. Tell Me Something More, Eyes Wide, which I love. It's kind of like if I ever get to do a song that's going to be a dance track, I want them to share my voice like she did in her 1999 hit Believe. So they've got a little bit of Do You Believe in Life After Love, effect of, on my voice with Eyes Wide. And of course, Fog, and then the Christmas song, Guess What, It's Christmas Time. Do you know, Rob, that the song Guess What, It's Christmas Time went to number one on the indie charts over Christmas this year? And those charts are going to actually be published. I'm waiting for them to come out any second, because I've been waiting for the last 3 days for them. But it's going to be my second back-to-back holiday number one hit. So I'm kind of excited about that.
It's
very cool.
There's nothing in that surprises me. The thing, too, with that song that, we call it just a Christmas song, but it really is a very, very unique song, because there are so many people who consider their dogs and their pets their family, and is a big part of the holiday for them is their bond with their animals. And this is probably the one and only Christmas song that captures that. So, well, you know, it deserves it.
I hope so, because that was my intention in writing this song. It's like, I don't think anybody's writing a song about their dogs and at the beach in California at Christmas, so this is going to be it. But
well,
yeah,
especially at,
so
the, at the beach on Christmas. that part did make it really specific, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm really going for that niche audience here, you know, everybody in like a 7.2-mile geographic region. But yeah, so
there you go.
Thanks for being part of the show for a second week in a row. For everybody who's newer to the format here, this is a show that Rob and I did a couple of times last year, and we got such a huge reaction from the listeners for having a, you know, either, well, at the time we called it Super Gay Radio, but we decided, you know, at the new year, and we're going to really cater to all segments of the community to call it Rated LGBT Radio, and, you know, get LGBT guests on and talk about LGBT issues, and of course showcase a lot of the writing that Rob does as a you know, I call you an award-winning journalist, but as somebody who writes articles that get literally hundreds of thousands of hits on all the major networks around the country, from Huffington Post and Yahoo News, you know, writing about LGBT issues. Real quick before I forget, just because next week we are going to have our first official guest to the show as an Rated LGBT Radio program, we're going to have actor and philanthropist Mr. Mike Hennessy on the line. And I think I call him Mike, Michael Hennessy. He's going to be on the show with us, and we're going to be talking to him about, you know, just life and things that are going on in his world. And I think that you'll be really excited to hear from him. So next week, make sure to set your clocks and calendars, and we're going to be hearing from a guest instead of just, you know, the banter between Rob and myself. But Rob, as we get started here, what did you do this past week? I know that we were supposed to talk a bunch of times, and scheduling just kind of got in the way. So this is our first chance to really catch up.
Well, it's been a crazy week, but in terms of output, the one article that I actually wrote hasn't been made public yet. I wrote an article for a group that I've been promising something to for the longest time, and I finally wrote something unique and sent it over to them, and that's Gay Parents to Be is the name of the group. So obviously, they are catering to LGBT couples who are planning on being parents. And they've asked for me to be a regular contributor, and so I've actually contributed something. So
I love that.
I thought we could preview a little bit of that tonight if you wanted to.
I would love to hear that. And they've also got a great Facebook, I call it a fan page, but it's a Facebook group page that you can go and like as well. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so it should be good. The article that I wrote, and I hope they accept it, I may be reading an article that no one will ever see, but that be that as it may. The article is called The Six Fears That Homophobic People Have Over Accepting Same-Sex Parents. And this came from something that you and I talked about last week, where we talked about the article that I had up on Yahoo Parenting that got some really nasty, vicious, disgusting reactions from pretty much homophobic people. I mean, it wasn't personal because they don't know me, but they sure did not like the idea of a gay man being a dad.
Well, I think a gay man being a dad is a great thing. You're a great father.
Well, I try to be, and so anyway, so that sort of spurred me on to taking a deeper look as to why that reaction happens in some people. So I came up with what I consider the six reasons, the six things specifically that they are afraid of when they encounter same-sex parents. So I'll just ramble through them here, and we can talk about them.
Yeah, you bet.
First one is fear that understanding they don't actually understand the world as much as they think. And what I mean by this is I have a theory about prejudice, that a lot of people like to hold on to their prejudices because it gives them a shorthand to a large portion of the world that they don't otherwise understand. For example, if I have a prejudice against Mexican people, it helps me to think that I understand all Mexican people, because I will put that in my head where all Mexican people do X, Y, Z. And so I don't have to give it another thought that when I meet a Mexican person, that I have to treat them as somebody I know nothing about. Already, because of this affection for my prejudice, I've decided I know 50% of who they are, just by the fact that they're Mexican. So that, to me, there's a bias, a fear that their bias will not serve them. And they think they want to know what same-sex people are all about. And if they have to admit that they don't, then they have to release their bias. So that's my first fear that I think they're dealing with. The second one is a fear of the loss of romance. And why I'm putting this one out there is that a lot of romantic traditions are based strongly on gender role limitations. You have princesses that are helpless and they need their prince to come save the day. You have men who are only half, you know, okay until they find the woman that is going to make them whole. And that's the romantic concept. So if you have same-sex couples that are not tied to any gender role, then all of those quote-unquote romantic ideals go away. Romance doesn't really get threatened because it's actually replaced with a loving romance that is empowering of each other without those gender roles being woven into it. But because fears are irrational, the fear is that if they accept same-sex couples, they have to give up their concepts of romance.
Well, honestly, romance in the world today, if you're a married couple, let's face it, and I saw a study, and not to get off track about other articles, because I'm certainly not going to do that here, Rob, but I saw an article, I think it was yesterday, saying, you know, it's really in the first year that the first 6 months of a relationship, people are figuring out sexually what each other likes and, you know, how, you know, all the weird things they get to do to each other. And then they spend the next 6 months doing all those things to each other. And after that, the sexual relationship pretty much goes downhill for every orientation, every male-to-male, female-to-female, male-to-female, any combination thereof. And after that, you know, pretty much sex is, if it happens, when it happens, is really more of an afterthought than a priority for most couples. And I went, well, that sure explains a whole lot in my life. But, you know, so I think, you know, everybody says, you know, what is normal, you know, I think it's just ridiculous. So anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Now I'm really depressed. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to read that article. I'm going to choose to sidestep that one.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so then number three is fear of a crisis of faith. And that's because a lot of this is based on this absolute obsession with gender roles in a lot of religious traditions. And some of them are very specific. The siloing of gender roles is very important. The Catholic Church, in fact, recently made a film where they took it to this whole new level, where the creation of Earth was based on gender roles, according to them, that males were, or male is land mass and earth, and female is water. And so the Earth is made up of this female-male combination, and that creates the whole of human experience. And none of that is real. I mean, it's symbolic, and people may find that, you know, inspiring and all that in sort of a symbolic nature, but none of that really describes real people. I mean, women are not all water, and men are not all dirt, although some people, I think, may... They disagree with that. They may think, you know, that is in fact true. But, you know, anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And now this next one is one that I really have observed kind of in terms of the gut reaction to people about same-sex parents and same-sex couples being parents, is this fear that if they accept a same-sex couple being parents, that when they think about their own parents, they have to transgender one of them in order to relate. In other words, we were all raised with, or most of us were raised with, a mom and a dad, male and female. And so when we look at two men being parents, we think of our own parents and going, oh my, what would it be like if mom were a guy? That's very strange. And yeah, it's strange because your parent is the sum total of who they actually were. Now, if you go to my sons and say, you know, gee, what if Papa was a woman? They would give you the same strange look because Papa is a man. It's part of who he, his qualities. They don't miss the fact that neither one of us is a woman. They just, that's just who we each are. And we each have our own completely different set of qualities that we actually are. So it's that, you know, they're afraid they have to conceptually transgender one of their own parents, which is a very uncomfortable and natural thing. Number five is they fear they have sacrificed important life choices. Because if they realize that a couple can come together, have kids, and do it without forced fitting into some gender role, then people who have accepted gender roles their whole lives suddenly realize they may not have had to do that. And that can be quite an awakening. And in many cases, a little bit disturbing. If a woman was a secret, you know, brilliant CEO who gave it up to raise kids and do nothing else, or the man who really wanted to spend full time, all the time with his kids for several years and give up his career, but neither chose to do that because they weren't supposed to, then they might feel a little robbed if they accept that same-sex couples get to do exactly that. And last but not least, and this kind of goes back to, in a weird sort of way, what you were talking about before, they fear they will have to acknowledge that they like sex. And what I mean by that is that in the mythology of relationships and parental couples coming together, the sex life is always put under this umbrella of it's what we did to have kids. When in fact, they don't do it just to have kids. They do it for a lot of other reasons, but they don't admit to it. Nobody talks about that they do it for bonding. And, you know, we talk about lust being bad and, you know, it's, you know, making babies is good. And, you know, the fact that marital sex is beautiful is because it's an effort to make a baby and kind of stuff. And if we take the making baby part out of sex in a committed couple, they have to admit they like it and it's what they want to do to be close to each other, which is, again, really a true thing, but nobody wants to talk about that part. So there you go. There are my six fears.
There you go. So that article is submitted to which group again?
To Gay Parents to Be.
There you go. Check them out on Facebook, and that will be hopefully something you'll be seeing on their blog in the coming days and weeks. That'll be really, really cool. Hey, Rob, one thing I wanted to do before we go any farther, we've got a good friend of the show, Scott Fullerton. He's listening, and I just want to give him a couple of shout-outs for two shows that he does. He's got a brand-new show on the UBN network here in Los Angeles that goes out all around the world, and Tony Sweet, of course, is, you know, the head of that particular network, and Scott started a brand-new show that he does Tuesday afternoons at 3 p.m., it's 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the UBN network. If you'd like to know more about that, friend Scott Fullerton on Facebook. He's really, really cool. And then he's doing his regular Left of Straight show right here on Blog Talk Radio. He does that every Tuesday between 2 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this week he had Trevor LaPaglia, and, you know, he's an actor, writer, director. He also had Greg Skarnicki. I'm probably saying that wrong, Scott. I'm just reading this off your page. You also had Matt Wall, and you know, he's always got people either from like the, you know, the food shows, Hollywood, or you know, Broadway, because he loves musicals, on his program. So if you have a chance to go out and check out Scott Fullerton's show called Left of Straight right here on Blog Talk Radio, make sure to follow that, and then check him out on the UBN network. You can check that out on Facebook as the Universal Broadcasting Network. I think that's how it's, I should do this ahead of time, but I'm doing 14 things while we're all checking out. Universal Broadcasting Network. You just go check that out right here on Facebook. Like it, and you'll see all the cool shows that they do. So that'll be really fun. And, you know, Scott's going to be live with two new fresh shows next Monday and Tuesday, so go check him out. So that's kind of cool and exciting. So can I tell you what I did
cool
over the weekend?
Well, I have to put in one little side note about Scott,
because
I'm going to be checking out his show really up close and personal, because he's actually invited me to be on it.
You're going to have a great time. Oh my gosh.
So right, anyway, you were saying.
Okay, so since we're going to be talking about gay stuff tonight, or LGBT stuff tonight, guess what I did this weekend?
You cleaned your apartment.
From your lips to God's ears. I wish that were the case, but no, I did not clean my apartment. Both Saturday and Sunday, I got to appear in my first major motion picture.
You know what? I knew that. Why did I not get that? I knew that.
Because we were supposed to have a call like Saturday or Sunday, but my days were so completely long. By the time I got home, it was like, I can't even open my eyes. But I need to give special thanks to Bruce Hart, his brother, Phil Hart, and everybody attached to the major motion picture called Open that is currently filming here in Los Angeles. And Bruce was very nice to let me have my first acting role ever outside of a music video where I was specifically cast. I've done background work before, but I got to play the role of Mr. Bart Ender. Now, say those two words together fast and you'll figure out what I was doing. And I will tell you, you think that, you know, you're watching these movies and things just come together so quickly and effortlessly. I think that's because, you know, those types of shows have great editors in the process, because, you know, they make the lighting look good, the sound looks good, the people look good, everything looks good, but it takes a ton of production time from, you know, the sound people to the lighting people to the staging people to, you know, making sure that the artwork has received clearance to be able to be in the film so they don't get sued later. You don't have jet planes going overhead at any point because that interferes with the sound, and you're like, you know, nobody's going to hear it. Well, it picks up the sound. And we had a house full of probably like 50 people, from actors to production people. And, you know, they're filming, the entire house had to be pin drop silent, because even if you're three bedrooms away down the hall and the door is closed, it would still pick up conversations that people were having. And so it would be quiet on the set, and we would have to stop mid-sentence, be quiet, and just, you know, not say a word until, okay, cut. And they get ready to film the next, you know, either the next take or the next whatever. But totally had a lot of fun, and it's going to be a movie that's about a couple that's been together for about 10 years, and they're discovering between themselves if they think that they should have an open relationship. So that's the name of the film, called Open. And it will be out sometime later in 2016. I don't know when, because again, they're filming it right now. But I was asked to be on set Saturday, and I said, do you need me to come back Sunday? Because I'll be glad to come back Sunday if you need me. You know, of course, anytime I can be in front of the camera, I want to. And I said, we don't know yet. And I went, that probably means they're not. So I came home, and I was so exhausted, and I went straight to bed. I got up really, really early on Sunday morning, and just by chance checked my email and said, oh, yeah, you're on set at 8:15. And I'm like, okay, you know, since that's over 55 miles away, and I'm looking at the clock calculating, you know, let's hope there's not going to be any traffic. I kind of made a rush of things, but I got up there, was on set on time, and got to, you know, be part of all the excitement all day long, but it wasn't in my scene until about 5 minutes before they shot the last scene of the night, which was the scene that I was in at 7:30 that evening. But it was cool. Yeah. So, but again, got to meet a lot of really cool people. You know, saw firsthand what's involved in doing something, you know, that you know, has some money behind it that's still an independent project, and was just thrilled to be part of the process. So there's
Did I hear you right saying you were going to do a song in the film?
There's another web series that's out, and they are doing their, I think, fourth or fifth season. It's called Old Dogs and New Tricks. And Mr. Leon Acord, who's been on the show and is the creator and writer and producer of the program, he and I have had some dialogue after his appearance on the show, and they're going to be using my song So Long, Mr. Nice Guy for my album Blonde Jesus. They're going to be using that somewhere in the series. And I told Leon over the weekend, because he's also in the movie, he's one of the stars, I said, you know, Leon, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we could take the song and use some of the footage that you're going to use the song in, and we'll turn that into like a music video. So we may get a music video out of the production of, you know, however that's going to be used. But they're going to give me, they're going to write a part for me this season, and so I'll be on that show as well. So very, very excited. So all kinds of little TV things are happening. And then I've got another show that I'm going to be filming in February for Jackie Bo. She was just on the show on Tuesday night, called The Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine. And I'm playing a Hollywood actor who is basically playing a blonde Jesus character, and we're going to film a music video for my song Gay Wedding. Yeah, we've already done an official video, but I think we're going to be doing something new and fun for her program that's coming out as well. So at some point this year I may cut my hair, but everybody says, don't cut it yet, we need you with a long hair for this particular part, so leave it the way it is.
Well, there are always extensions.
Rob, you know, I had extensions when I did all my original press pictures and things like that.
Right.
It damaged my hair so much. I will never do extensions again. It was just absolutely
horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. So it was expensive.
That part I didn't know. Yeah.
Painful and horrible. You know, so three things that, you know, you don't want to have any part in your life. And so, yeah, anybody out there thinking, well, just go get extensions, don't do it. It's miserable.
Yeah. With all your filming and foray into the movie arts, did you sit around this morning when they announced the Academy Award nominees and go, next year, that's going to be next year?
Well, it's funny that you talk about that, because one of the things that I actually do every day now is I write this list called My God and Angels Placemat List. And I kind of got the divine inspiration of this, if you want to say. And I got this actually from our guest next week, Mr. Michael Hennessy. And he says, you know, one of the things that I do every day, this is Michael speaking, not me. One of the things I do every day is write my placemat list. And I said, what in the heck is that? And he says, well, I take a piece of paper and split it down the middle. And the left side of the paper, I write three things that I have to get done today. And on the other side of the paper, I write down everything I need help from God or my angels to come into my life and, you know, help make my life better, so I don't have to, you know, sit here and stress about stuff. And he told me about this probably back in early December. So I went out and I bought a book, and I with whiteout on the cover of the notebook, I wrote angels on it. And so I, every day without fail, I write down my three things, and then I write another list that I write to God and angels, and it says, I am asking for your help today, angels. You know, because if you believe in angels, your angels don't just say, doesn't Rob look like he needs some help? Let me just go interject here. You know, they need to be asked and invited to come and do the work. And then, you know, once you ask, you know, you're just supposed to get out of the way. So I make my list, and one of the things that I write on my list on a daily basis is that I would like to appear in 5 films in 2016. You know, now if somebody wants to hire me for, you know, a lead or something like that with no acting experience, I'm very glad to take it. You know, you roll your, you know, dice at your own risk. I'll work very, very hard. But my guess would be that I'd be hired for a background or a bit part or something like that. But my goal is to be in 5 projects this year, and we'll see how that will play out. I think that's entirely possible, and it's just something that, you know, that usually happens through a lot of networking and, oh, he was in here, or we could use somebody else, call Garrett, and we'll go from there. But I would love to be on an award show next year. I think it's entirely conceivable, but I think it's more likely that it could happen for some music projects that I'm involved in versus, you know, acting of whatever nature.
Right.
But I'll,
right.
Because I'm telling, this is something I haven't shared with anybody either. So this is all brand new too. I've been nominated for two of my songs, the Christmas song and then my Blonde Jesus song, on a network, and they have said that I will find out Friday if I'm an award winner for the month of January, because they, you know, they nominate different songs, you know, every month of the year, and it's kind of a big darn deal, at least locally here. So if I'm, you know, I don't want to jinx it by saying anything yet, but I'll find out tomorrow if either of the songs have won in their particular category. So that will be really, really kind of cool. So my music's getting noticed outside of me jumping up and down and standing on a, you know, a cardboard box outside of Safeway, you know. So
that,
that's
fantastic. You know, if you get, if you feel like you want to get typecast a bartender, I may actually have something for you. Because I did something the other night that was a little bit bizarre. Up here in Santa Cruz, we have a festival every year. It's called 10 and 10, and it is 10 short, 10-minute plays that they put on. And they're all originally written plays by different people who submit them. I think they get like 300 that they go through. They pick out the 10 out of all those submissions, and they cast them, direct them, you know, and put them on. And they put on them on during this evening, where it literally is 10 men, 10 plays, each of 10 minutes in length. And so I got home the other night, and I don't know what the bug was that bit me, but I decided to sit down and write one for next year to submit. And
cool.
I did. And it is about a bartender who is closing up his bar, and a mysterious young man who is the last person out of the bar, and the conversation they have as the young man is about to exit. So there you go. If you want to do theater and I get it accepted, and, you know,
I'm on board.
Stranger
so
things have happened. Yeah.
You just tell me. And, I, you know, it was funny because as I'm sitting there, you know, trying to be an actor in the scene, because I have no dialogue and I'm really in the background while other actors are doing stuff, but I can see how the shot's framed and I can see where I'm going to be positioned. You know, of course, I've never bartended in my life, but, you know, do you tell anybody that? No, of course not. So I've got like the silver shaker thingy with my glass thingy, and I'm shaking it around, you know, like it's a shake weight, and doing all this stuff, and, you know, it's action. And then, you know, I drop the glass, and of course, it's really loud and clangy everywhere. Or, you know, I set something down and it's making way too much noise. And I did that like twice, and they finally said, you know, Garrett, why don't you just pretend to dry a glass? Let's try doing that. That would be really swell. I'm like, okay, I'll pretend to dry a glass. That will be exactly what we'll do. So anyway.
Well, but you didn't ask the question.
What,
you know, which, you needed to ask the question.
Which is what?
The question is, okay, but while I'm drying it, what's my motivation?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, yes, I needed to know my motivation. My motivation is to get the freaking glass clean and stop making any noise. We're in a mute bar, you know. Hey, it's time to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and I think we've got some people calling in to get a tarot card reading from Reverend Rob. So, Reverend Rob,
we're
going to be taking your calls right after the break. Our call-in number is 323-657-1493. If you call in and want to talk, you need to press 1 on your keypad. I've got several of you that have called in, but nobody's pressed 1 on your keypad except for one caller out of New York. I'm going to try to screen that call while we go to break. And then when we come back, we are going to take your calls. So if you'd like to get a tarot card reading, now is the time to call in. Here's a little message from It Matters Radio.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, Duff, man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, Letty, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Thank you, Rainbow Brew. Always love having you be a proud sponsor here of Rated LGBT Radio with our co-host tonight, Mr. Rob Watson. We've got our first caller of the night. Rob, are you ready to give your first tarot card reading?
I am.
Cool. So, Sonia, thank you for calling in. You are now live with Reverend Rob, and I will leave you to your reading.
Good evening, Sonia. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for trying this out with us. So, Sonia, what I've got here is I have the tarot deck in front of me, and I am shuffling it. And to make it personal to you, I need you to virtually pick a couple of the cards for yourself. So whenever you feel the instinct, I want you to tell me to stop. And at that point, I will stop shuffling the deck. So listen to your deeper instinct as to when we're at the right moment to stop.
Okay, you may stop.
Okay, now I need you to give me a number, just a number, not too high a one.
From 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 or?
No, one at a time, I'm sorry.
One number only?
Well, one number to start.
5.
5?
Yes.
Okay. Now the fifth card is going to be your archetype card. Now, give me another number.
12.
12. Card is your emotional cover card, which is covering up your archetype card. Now, we're going to also read your mental state, so give me another number.
18.
18. Teen is your mental state, and the last one is your physical state. So one last number.
23.
Okay, and that is your physical state. So the reading is this. The your archetype card, which is it's like your zodiac sign, except very personal to you, is the sun, which is inside the type of person that you are instinctually is one of life and birth and warmth, kind of that the nurturing essence of what the sun is. Very bright, very optimistic, wanting to reach out, wanting to to warm the world. Your emotional state that is covering this is it's actually the Fool's Child card. And right in the center of that, within the sun grasp of this card, is the embryo. So while you're the architect of who you naturally are is trying to get through, your emotional state is pretty much at an early part of that process and allowing it. There's an innocence to your emotions right now with, you know, some wide-eyed desire to see more, to understand more, but not quite understanding what is potential within you that could come out. There's reaching for things and, you know, a grasping at this stage, but just not quite understanding what is to come if you let yourself emerge from that. Your mental card is actually a spiritual card. It's Three of Wands, which is compassion. And in this card, that sun essence that is part of you is being shown as a single rainbow coming out and reaching in one very colorful direction. But mentally is your mental state is that to look at things compassionately, to think them out and argue with them on a compassionate, empathetic level. And that's kind of where everything is sort of being streamlined for you mentally. Your last card and the physical card is creativity, Three of Crystals, which is a very spiritual type card with a lot of color, a lot of variations. I would say physically right now things are probably not chaotic, but in a much more organized way of trying different things physically. But with methodology behind it, you're being creative, you're being original, which is a good thing. And it actually feeds back into what will help you at this innocent stage with your emotions to open up and allow that inner sun to come protruding through. So there you go, my dear. There is your reading for tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Appreciate your calling in. Have a great evening, okay? Oh, there she goes. She dropped off.
There she goes.
Our next caller is going to be Tony G. And Tony's, I'm going to bring on the line in just a real quick second. I've got a couple more callers that have called in, so I'm going to screen your calls while Tony's getting his reading. So I'll bring on the line. It'll just be you and I talking, and I'll say, hello, caller. And that's your cue to, like, talk to me. So I'm going to just get your name. Tony, you are now live with Reverend Rob. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Tony.
Reverend Rob. Good evening.
So you ready for this?
I am ready.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to do a pretty thorough shuffle here so we get the cards back in a more organic order. And when you feel in your gut, because I want you to really reach out to this deck and make it talk to you on what you need to hear tonight, you tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now I want you pick a number.
Six.
Six, okay. All right. This is your archetype card and you heard what that is, correct?
Yes.
That what it means. Okay. Now give me another number.
13.
One more number.
Three.
All right. That's your mental state. And one more number.
20.
on Earth. And that leaves us with your physical state. Okay, your archetype card is actually extremely interesting. It is the card of Page of Wands, which is so it's
really. Rob, I'm really sorry. I'm just having a hard time. Could you speak up a little bit? I'm really sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
We're having a hard time hearing you.
Sorry about that. So the first card is the Seer card. It is the Sage of Wands, and it is a visionary card. So your archetype, there is wisdom, vision. I would say that you are an old soul looking through a lot of wisdom, probably a lot of your own psychic ability, intuitiveness. That is what is core to who you are in an archetypal type of situation. You're covering that with an emotional state of success. So the success concept is what you put out emotionally, that confidence, that feeling of being in tune with the solar system, everything that's evolving, you are competent and comfortable with, and it is all working. That's the emotional projection that you are putting out around that. Then the mental card that is on top of it is very interesting, because your mental card is actually an emotionally based concept, which is Child of Cups and being a feeler. And this is that allowing yourself that mental innocence, the mental agility to explore and look at new things and play with things and just kind of follow that kid-like, you know, do what you feel and what you want to do type thing with concepts in your head. And then last but not least, physical is inventor. Man of Crystals. So physically, that's rejuvenation and creating new physicality for yourself, whatever that may mean to you. But it isn't just like developing a muscle or becoming that type of thing. It is literally recreating and inventing that level of physicality in your world. So that is your reading for tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you calling in. And our next caller, I think this is going to be our last caller of the night, because then we're going to just kind of chat about life and stuff, is Laura. Laura, thanks for calling in tonight. Love having you being back on the show. You are now live with Reverend Rob.
Hi
Laura.
Rob. Hi.
So, Let's shake this up a little bit. What of the four areas that we've talked about in terms of an archetype, emotional state, mental and physical, which one of those are you most curious about?
Emotional.
Okay. So let's first pick the order. So tell me when to stop, and I will stop shuffling for you.
Stop.
Now, they're all in this order. I'm now going to run my finger down the cards, and when I hit the one that you feel is your archetype, say stop.
Stop.
Okay. So your archetype is the preserver, the woman of worlds. So your instinct inside is to preserve, protect, keep everything safe and nurtured and contained in a mothering embrace kind of way. So now we're going to cover that, what that instinct with you in you is like, to what is going on emotionally on top of that. So let me, again, have you tell me when you want me to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Trust. So the emotional issue that you're grappling with is an area of trust. And in the middle of trust is this child, which is kind of symbolic, going back to what I was talking about, the woman of worlds and the preserver. Because in the woman of worlds, the child is very hidden. Here the child, the same child, the child that is in the womb, is very raw and exposed. And so the emotional overview of this is that there's some emotions around trust and safety of your exposed child going on, that your goal, because of who you are, is to want to protect and envelop and everything else, but it's placing it in a place of emotional risk and emotional trust and a desire to feel comfortable around that, where it's probably extending out into an area where there's question around trust. So let's touch, even though that was the main one, let's also go to your mental state then. So again, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, that was very specific there. Commencement, your four of worlds, like our last caller, your mental state has got this sort of planetary imagery around it. But you are really in a mental state where you are challenging yourself and something is about to commence mentally. You are getting to a point where, whether it's a decision or a resolution to something or an answer, but that is starting to congeal. And in the core of this card is a sun that is about to emerge. So that is happening for you mentally. And the last but not least, physical world, again, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, again, you're very good. As soon as I touch one card, you tell me very specifically. So these are definitely yours. There's physically a lot of confusion for you right now. The card that you got is the confusion card. And again, there's chaos, but it's not like the previous caller had a creativity card that was that sort of turmoil, but in an orchestrated, creative, innovative way. Yours isn't that way. Yours is more confusion and probably a little bit feeling lost physically right at this moment. So there you go. There's your reading for tonight.
Well, I have to say, everything was really right on target. It was really good.
I'm very glad to hear that. I don't have much ownership over that because I read what I say, and one of the things where I like reading for people that I have no knowledge of at all is I have no chance of putting my own context to it. So what I read was what I saw from your cards. Every one of the three of you guys that called in. And we really appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate the reading. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Laura. I loved having you call in tonight. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Well, with that, Rob, we've got about 5 minutes left, and it's time to wind up our second edition of Rated LGBT Radio. What's maybe like a closing thought or idea that you'd like to share with the listeners before we head out for the night?
Well, I actually, my wish right now to close out is kind of a goodbye to two incredible talents this week, David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Incredible artists.
that graced us and left indelible images on us, and they both departed at age 69, by the way, both of them.
Isn't that wild?
They were both the same age. Yeah, that was pretty weird and eerie, but yeah.
Well, would it be appropriate if we played one last song by Mr. David Bowie to wind up our show for the evening?
I think pertinent, appropriate, and let's do it.
Then we're going to do that. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. We're going to play David Bowie's song, Rest in Peace, Mr. David Bowie. Thank you for all the great music that you have shared with the world. Tomorrow night on the Friday Night Dance Party, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have got one of the Supremes, like, you know, from the Supremes, Miss Sherry Payne is going to be joining us with her very cool music producer, Mr. Rick Giannatos. They're going to be talking about a couple of the new music projects they're working on, but we're also going to ask Sherry about her new screenplay called A Lady in Waiting, which debuts at the end of January here in Los Angeles. Sherry is an acclaimed screenwriter too. You didn't know that she sang, and she's a brilliant writer, but she is. She's got over 19 screenplays that she's written. This is her second one that's hitting the stage, and I'm very excited to have her on the show tomorrow night. So again, get your music requests in for hour number two, but hour number one is going to be filled with interviews with Sherry Payne, Rick Giannatos, and Sherry's music. Now, here's a little bit from Mr. David Bowie. David, thank you for all that you do. Rob, thank you for being you, and we'll see you live tomorrow night.
Been listening to
Rated G Radio.